He's got Drew. 35-30.
Logan intercepted.
Touchdown, Zion.
Welcome in to Big Blue Kickoff Live. Anita Marks and David Deal, as always, on this hump day. Wednesdays, we're with you from noon to one. Hopefully, you're spending your lunch hour with us. First and foremost, wishing everybody, hopefully everybody had a fantastic Thanksgiving.
Absolutely.
Last we spoke, you were on your way home to build a gingerbread house
yes.
for your daughter.
My daughter's turned out much better than mine, to say the least. I told you, I'm not good at arts and crafts. And she had the candy lined up.
I would imagine your hands are so big.
She had the walkways. She had everything. Even she had the door handle on the front door. She's talented when it comes to that stuff. That's not my specialty, to say the least.
That's so great. And it's so impressive because it's one of the biggest Wednesday nights, like the party night. Everybody goes out before Thanksgiving. You're home, like making a gingerbread house with your daughter.
Yeah.
I love it. That's what I love about you. You're just so awesome. And hopefully you had a great Thanksgiving. Did you eat a lot?
Yeah, ate a lot. Had a great
Thanksgiving. You can eat a lot.
No, I mean, it's about doing it when you can. And now that's like a free pass to eat whatever you want on Thanksgiving. So it was fantastic. And then had to get up bright and early and left Friday morning at 5 a.m. for my game in Houston. So it was a quick turnaround, but I enjoyed it, had a great time with my daughter. And here we are back to another week of Big Blue Kickoff Live and another week of Giants versus the Jets.
Absolutely. By the way, you're doing a phenomenal job.
Thank you.
With all those games this season. Want to remind you, Big Blue Kickoff Live, brought to you by, of course, DraftKings. Don't forget, at DraftKings, you can play as often as you want with no season-long commitment. Go to DraftKings.com, enter the promo code CONTACT to play for free today. DraftKings Fantasy Sports, free to play. Before we start, looking forward to the Jets game. So excited about this game because of the whole New York thing, the rivalry that exists.
That's great, but this game's about survival for both of these football teams. As much as you want to talk about rivalry and all that, this game between the Jets and the Giants is about getting the W in order to ensure that you still have an opportunity to make the postseason. So, I know, you know, as a Giants fan and for this Giants team, you're hoping that that is what's going to inspire them to get them ready to go for Sunday, because this is going to be a heavyweight fight here, and it's going to be the last man standing in this game.
It's going to be a good one. But before we start looking forward to the Jets, I want to get your thoughts on the Washington game. Unfortunately, as we know, the Giants lose 20-14. And now tied for the NFC East. Thoughts on that game? What did you walk away from? What did you like? What did you not like? What could the Giants learn from that game moving forward?
As complex as this game can be, with the new system of Ben McAdoo's offense and high tempo, getting calls in from the line, you know, from the sidelines, it's still about execution, and it's still about being able to run the ball effectively and protecting the quarterback. That will never change on the offensive side of the ball. So you knew coming into this game or last week's game that the Washington Redskins team is a battle-tested football team. And you know that ever since Scott McLuhan has taken over as the GM there, there's been a change in the culture around there. The way that he built the 49ers, the way that he built the Seattle Seahawks, he knows how important it is to have a stout offensive and defensive line. And for our offensive line, they weren't able to hold up because of the inefficiency and the lack of production in the running game. And, it's going to force a lot of pressure on Eli Manning, who threw interceptions because he's trying to make plays and force things down the field. You know, Odell Beckham Jr. is completely destroying teams with his ability to make plays. But, you know, if you were a wide receiver on this football team, you'd be salivating because of having an Odell Beckham Jr. and the opportunities that you're going to get to have one-on-one matchups. They were unable to win those. And as you saw as a product, you saw the inconsistency. You saw the Redskins defense being able to make plays and in order for their offense to still maintain control of the football. And then on the other side, for the Redskins offense and for the Giants defense, the inability to get pressure on Kirk Cousins, you know, the inability to cover another tight end in Jordan Reed. And, you know, we saw the emergence of DeSean Jackson coming back with a healthy hamstring and getting behind the safeties and making a big play. So this is a big week, not only, you know, for the Giants emotionally, but getting back to the basics, playing smart football, get the call in from the sidelines, get lined up and roll and play physical football.
Well, now moving forward in this matchup against the Jets, really not a tight end that they really utilize as a passing tight end in their system. So thank God, kind of, you know, don't have to face another Jordan Reed this week.
No.
But what they do bring to the table is a good pass rush.
They do.
With Mo and the cast of characters that they have on that defensive line. And as we know, Jeff Schwartz placed on IR, fingers crossed, Justin Pugh coming off of that concussion, limited at practice today. Your thoughts on this offensive line? Also, keep in mind, Marshall Newhouse is dealing with a back issue. So talk about John Jerry. Talk about Hart. Talk about what you saw from Dallas Reynolds and how this offensive line could and will need to really get better because, again, this Jets defense, especially that defensive line, it's going to be a tough one.
It's all based on health. I mean, when I was sitting there in the press box in Houston, sitting there getting ready, and I looked at the Giant inactives, and the minute that I saw Justin Pugh and Weston Richburg, I knew Eli was going to be in for a long day because you're talking about the center and the guard right in the middle of the pocket that are supposed to be stout so that Eli can deliver, step up, and climb in order to make plays. And, of course, they made the adjustment to put John Jerry, a veteran, on the left side to help out with the rookie left tackle and in order to move things around so that it wasn't him solo by himself out there. Bobby Hart coming into the play or into the game and playing, I think he did a solid job, but his whole thing has been consistency throughout, and that going back to, you know, mini camps and training camp. So it's going to be very important to see which group is going to be coming into this football game, because if you look at the way that they played the Miami Dolphins, the Jets front, number one, the Dolphins only had 12 yards rushing in the entire football game, and they were able to create negative plays on first and second down where the Dolphins were, let's see, the Dolphins were 27%. And I went through and I tracked because of the negative plays that the Jets had on first and second down. Here's the 15 third downs that the Miami Dolphins had. Third and 6, third and 8 led to an interception. Third and 25, third and 18, third and 5, third and 3. And then it gets ratcheted back up. Third and 17, third and 9, third and 10, third and 6. I can keep going and going. So throughout the entire game, the Dolphins only had 2 third downs between 2 and 3 yards, 5 between 4 and 6, and everything after was 8+. So when you do that and you cannot run the football against this front, that's when they're going to be able to apply pressure. And that's, you know, one of the misconceptions that people have about, you know, this Jets defense and Todd Bowles' system is because, well, you look at it, they don't have a ton of sack production. It's not about sack production
turnovers
for Todd Bowles. It's about turnovers, and it's about affecting the quarterback, making him feel pressure, getting him off of the spot, making him deliver it early, anything they can to make a quarterback feel that all 11 defensive players are accountable on the field.
You know, what's really interesting is what the Jets defense is able to do against opposing quarterbacks is exactly what makes Ryan Fitzpatrick not successful. I've been saying this for really all season. And what makes Ryan Fitzpatrick successful is third and short situation. That's why when you look at how the Jets are able to run the football with Chris Ivory at 86 yards this past Sunday against the Miami Dolphins, when they're able to run the football, it puts and you get that first and 5, second and 5 now. You know, it puts him in a situation in third and short situation, and that's where a lot of quarterbacks in the NFL really find their productivity.
Really, yep.
So what I find it ironic that what the Jets thrive on, what their defense and they thrive on, is exactly what Ryan Fitzpatrick will suffer against, and this is what the Giants need to do to him.
Absolutely.
Heading into Sunday.
You know, like I said, last week I had the Saints-Texans game, so I watched that Texans-Jets game. The Texans offense was able to run the ball, and they were doing it in creative ways. The Wildcat, to try spreading out the Jets defense, they ran for over 100 yards, which, number one, it allowed T.J. Yates to relax where he didn't feel like he needed to be a hero because he's not that type of quarterback. And what it did was it put pressure on Fitzpatrick to make plays, because down the stretch, that's when he threw his two interceptions, were actually the last two possessions for the New York Jets, because it forced him to feel like he had to make a dynamic play in order to turn things around. But then if you go to, like you said, if you go to this Dolphins game, he didn't feel that pressure whatsoever. Four touchdowns, zero interceptions. And how did he do it? Getting Ivory going on the ground and attacking and getting the ball to his playmakers. Brandon Marshall, 11 targets, 9 catches. What do you have? 131 and 2 touchdowns. Decker, 9 targets, 5 catches. He had a touchdown. So if they can get the run game going with Ivory, because he is their physical and emotional leader, it allows Fitzpatrick to play with a relaxed confidence. And they scored 2 touchdowns, actually, on third down.
Let's take our calls. 201-939-4513 is the phone number. That's how you get in on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Also, I'll be monitoring Twitter, hashtag Giants Chat, and I'll share your tweets, questions, comments throughout the show. So we kick it off with Rod in Virginia. Rod, welcome in.
Hey, guys. You know, I just want to say a couple, like 2 or 3 points, and then I'll listen offline. I just want to say, you know, since we're in the Christmas season, you know, it's starting to look like 2011/2007, I think the Giants can make another run, but I'm just saying, David, you might have to suit back up and, you know, take the field a couple more times for us. So, you know, looking forward to that maybe.
I'm 265, and I'm 2 years out. I'm going nowhere near the football field. I like being in a press box on Sundays and waking up on Monday like I didn't feel like I was in a car crash. So thank you very much for it, but I'm good, my man.
Yeah, I wish you can be out there, man. But we need a lot of help on the offensive line. I know I read something where we picked up a guy off the Raiders practice squad as we put Jeff Schwartz on the injured reserve. And I'm just saying, the Giants, we can really make a run, but they have to win it, because how many games have ended on a flea flicker rugby play where the Giants had to toss it back so many times? Like, I think the Giants, we beat ourselves 95% of the time. There hasn't been a team that's gone out there and just punished us and just kept us down and hasn't. Because when you think about all the games that we put
there's one Philadelphia,
this year, the Giants have pretty much beat ourselves in the fourth quarter or in the first 3 quarters, and then we try to make a comeback in the fourth, and it can't work that way. We need to win games and finish. Tom Coughlin always talks about finishing. The Giants will be finishing. Odell Beckham, he can't be the only guy on the field. And you saw it on Sunday with the Redskins, how they was double covered, how they was using double coverage against Odell Beckham, and then guys were getting one-on-one coverages and not delivering on their plays that they were getting. And Eli throwing 3 interceptions, like 2 of them wasn't even his fault when he threw one in the end zone. Reuben Randle kind of slowed up to catch the ball when he should have kept on running. And then the drop pass by Vereen.
Oh, Rod, we saw it.
No need to
relive it right now. Thank you. Thank you for your phone call.
So, no, I think his main start was the offensive line. I mean, that's a huge question mark going into this game, because, like I said, to have 3 starting offensive linemen with Newhouse, Pugh, and Richburg on the injury list right now for report, that's not the way you want to be heading into this game, especially for a quarterback like Eli Manning. You have to allow him to have the confidence that he will have the time to deliver the football. And I know that this offense is predicated on being up-tempo, on being quick, but even with that, he still had pressure in his face throughout the entire game, especially in the second half of the game. So moving forward here, they've got to figure out how are they going to solidify things, because if they don't, it's going to be a long Sunday for the New York Giants offense.
201-939-4513. We'll continue with your calls. Also, hit us up on Twitter, @Giants. Make sure you include that hashtag Giants Chat. I think we're both in agreement here. Things would be a lot easier for Eli if they were able to establish a rushing attack. This is from Right the Ship. He says, we have to use Jennings and Darqua as our horses through the first 3 quarters, and then Williams in the fourth, Vereen and Whitlock as fullbacks. Thoughts on that tweet?
I couldn't agree more. This is December. What I would do is I would put Rashad Jennings in as many snaps as possible, and once he starts wearing down, go to Darqua. This rotation is not working. It has not been successful. And in order for this team to move forward in December, you have got to be able to run the football. I don't care, you know, whether you're thinking of, well, Jennings may get hurt. You can't think that way anymore, because this is a thrive or die situation here moving forward for this offense and for this team. You have got to put your playmakers in position to make plays. If he doesn't go, put it to Darkwa. And that's what they need to do moving forward here. I know that Andre Williams is a draft pick, and he can be a goal line guy. You've got to lean on Jennings and Darkwa to get it done, plain and simple.
So on Monday night, Brandon Steiner was hosting an event with – it was actually quite cool. It was Eli Manning.
Okay.
David Tyree.
All right.
With the touchdown grab.
All right.
Okay. Mario Manningham with the – touchdown. Well, not the touchdown grab, but the
sideline, yes.
The two catches that, of course, led to the Super Bowl winning touchdowns. And then Odell Beckham Jr.
That's a pretty good company.
It was a really, really cool event, talking about like the three, like probably
like
the most important, the most important catches, right?
Yeah.
In the history of the Giants organization. At least three top ones. And anyway, one of the questions was asked to all of them, well, obviously just Eli and Odell, is, you know, you come off of a lose to Washington, you're in this situation, you're tied for first in the NFC East. Are you having fun, though? Is this fun, being in this situation? And Eli said, absolutely it is. And he said, but one of the most important things is because there's so many rookies and young guys that are on this roster who haven't been in this situation, it's the veterans' responsibility to step up and say, listen, there's a lot of pressure here. There's a lot of pressure. You know, all we're hearing is we got to win these. If we win these out, we're in the driver's seat. We've got to win. We've got to win. We've got to win. But what you don't want is you don't want guys to tense up. You want them to still go out there and play free and make plays and have fun, because that's how you win football games. That was Eli's response, your
the
reaction
biggest
to
cure
that.
To having fun is vitamin W, winning football games. That cures everything, and it is. This is a young team, and this is a team. If you look at the difference between the 07 team and 11 team, the 11 team was much younger, a lot different roster, and it was on us, veteran players like myself, you know, Chris Snee, you know, Eli Manning, Justin Tuck. It was on us to make sure that getting ready not only for the postseason, but those last weeks when we needed to win, that's where the all-in came in. That's where that slogan came in, because you have to have your veterans control the locker room, let these young guys know how priceless the opportunity is in the NFL and how hard it is to get to where you want to go. And in that postseason run, I'll never forget Eli Manning getting up in front and doing it at the Super Bowl, saying, hey, you know, there's going to be a lot of distractions, especially at the Super Bowl. There's going to be parties. There's going to be this. But that's for your family. We're here for business. We're here to accomplish something that no other team and other teams have not even had the chance to. And that's the difference right now, is that the Giants still can put themselves in a position to get into the playoffs. But it's about how you work from the time that you get here till the time that you leave, so that when you go into Sunday, your competitive advantages, you've watched enough film, you've studied as much as you had to in the playbook, you know everything out cold, you lifted the weights, you ran, so that you can play free. You can play with confidence, and you're reacting and you're not thinking, because the minute that you're thinking on the football field, it's over for you.
Tom Coughlin addressed the media earlier today, like he does every Wednesday. If you missed it, you can watch the press conference show, which David Deal and Paul Dottino do host, on Giants.com. But one of the things, and I love when Coach gets hot. You know what I mean? Like around the collar. You
of
know
course,
what I mean?
Yeah.
And you know what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah.
And he had a quote today, and he said, listen, it is December. It is time that you have to extend yourself. And he looked at all the media in the audience, and he said, just like you guys, you need to be the first one into work. You need to be the last one to leave. This is December. We're getting closer and closer to the playoffs. He's like, you got to do the small things in order to get better. And that's what he's expecting from everybody on this roster.
And that's the way it has to be, is how bad do you want it? How bad do you want to win? How bad do you want to have the opportunity to make the playoffs and win another Super Bowl? And that is the case. Doing the things that everybody says, yeah, you're going to come to meetings. Yeah, there's going to be practice time. But are you spending extra time in the playbook? Are you making sure that you know every defensive lineman or every offensive lineman? Are you sure that you know the personnel of the other player? Because if you're not doing that, number one, you're not going to play the best of your ability. But two, you're letting the guy next to you down because you're not working that way.
Did you ever feel that you kind of let...
11 seasons, I never walked away from a game with a regret thinking that I could have done more in my preparation for
That's awesome. I don't think a lot of guys can say that, Dave.
Never, because we were, especially as an offensive line group, we were accountable to one another. If somebody had a mental error, if something happened in the game, number one, you were going on the fine board in our room. But number two, it was like your parents. I'm not mad. I'm disappointed in you.
Oh, it's the
worst.
It was
like you were letting the guy next to you down.
I'd rather them be mad at me.
Exactly. But that's the way that you've got to be when you're on a football team, and especially in a group like an offensive line, because it comes down to that accountability. Because when it's third and one, you want to know that the guy next to you is going to swing, fight, and do whatever he can just like you are.
201-939-4513. We'll continue with our calls. We go to AJ calling in from South Carolina. AJ, welcome into Big Blue Kickoff Live.
Thanks for taking my call. The Giants had to get out to the fast start. They showed up to the fourth quarter of the Washington game.
Well, thank you
Agreed.
For the phone.
Yeah.
Thank you for the phone call.
In any game, that's something that you talk about is establishing a fast start.
See, but
everybody talks about it.
But,
I know.
But you know what? But I think the problem is finishing. I don't think
Agreed.
The Giants' problem this season is a fast start.
It's about closing games and having that killer
yes.
instinct in the fourth quarter.
It's
that
finishing.
No matter what happens, there's not going to be a doubt in your mind that you're going to win and come away with it. But the problem is that this team has faced those tough losses where they didn't come away with it. Somebody needs to step up and take charge in the fourth quarter and be the emotional leader of this football team and be that fighting tough guy that's going to turn things around. That was the Antonio Pierce. That was our offensive line. That was the Ahmad Bradshaw. Somebody has to emerge as the leader, as the fighter that's going to step up in front of everybody else and say, this is not going to happen to us again.
Let's go to Eric. He's calling in from Virginia. Eric, welcome in.
Good afternoon. How are you guys today?
Okay.
If future coaching staff, I think we need to get through this season before we're asking questions who's going to be the future coach.
Well, but, you know, you have to look going forward, and, you know, let's face it, this team has been nothing but, you know, 8-8, 9-7 since Coughlin got there.
Okay.
So I'm not calling to say, like, hey, he needs to get fired.
No, I know what you're saying.
But I think we need to look ahead and say, okay, where do we go from here? Because if we finish 8-8, well, we finish 9-7, and let's say we get into the playoffs and we lose, well, did they do their job? And, you know, I think the organization has to look at themselves and say, are we putting the best product we can on the field? And when you look at they never addressed the issues that they had in the offseason, and we're still dealing with the same things today. So I think you have to look from the top down. And, you know, I just want your perspective. Since you played the game, you're closer to the organization. You know, what do you think this looks like?
This is my thing. I don't know what the direction of this football team is going to be. That's on John Mara upstairs, and that's between the Mara and the Tisch family. I can't speak on that behalf. We don't know what the future of Coach Coughlin is, whether things don't work out for him, if it's going to be here, whether he coaches for another season. I'll say this. This is, like I said, I'm not saying anything in regards to if he should stay, go, any of that stuff. But out of the coaches' candidates, in order to take over any organization, because there's going to be a lot of job openings in the NFL after this season.
Miami, Tennessee.
The coach that I love, that for me, if I was the general manager and if I was the owner of a football team, I would want Sean McDermott, the defensive coordinator of the Carolina Panthers. He was in Philadelphia. I've seen the way that he coaches teams. I see the way that he, you know, is with his players. And look at the turnaround that Carolina Panthers defense has had since he's taken over. I think he would have been a head coach last year if they didn't have all the – or this year, if they didn't have all the problems and issues with their defense last year, and we're seeing the way that they're playing this season. So, for me, the coach that I would love, if I was an owner of a football team, I would say Sean McDermott.
Let me say this before we move on to the next caller. And I know I'm going to date myself here, but when I started covering the NFL, I started covering the Miami Dolphins when Don Shula was the head coach. I've been through a number of head coaching changes with the Miami Dolphins. I covered them for 10 years. Then I went to Baltimore. When I went to Baltimore, Brian Billick was the head coach,
yep.
And I was there for the transition to Harbs. And then now I'm here, and I've been covering this team for 6 years now under Tom Coughlin.
You've seen the change.
I've never covered a team with a better head coach than Tom Coughlin.
No.
I have not.
And I absolutely love Coach Coughlin.
And
I wouldn't be the player that I was if he didn't bring out the very best of me. And you could go across the board that way. But at some point, he's not going to be a coach anymore. And who is going to be the next person to be the head person in charge of the New York Giants? So, no, I understand where the question was coming from. But like I said, more importantly than anything, it's about winning football games now. It's about the Jets. You can't think long term.
Let's go to line three. D's calling in, wants to talk about punt returners.
Punt returners. Okay.
Hey, guys. How y'all doing?
We're good, D.
Hello?
We're waiting for you, big man.
Hey. All right. So yesterday, Paul and John, I think they missed the scene with kind of some of the callers' frustration. The issue is that we're tired of seeing the same production game after game after game, year after year after year. The New England Patriots had a punt return to muff a punt, and he got cut the next day. The Giants are putting out Wynn, Randall, Ears, Jennings, all these guys, and the production just isn't there, yet they're still on the field. So it's like there just doesn't seem to be any accountability for poor play, and it's like the definition of insanity is doing the same thing expecting a different result, and we are continuing to do the same thing with the same poor result, and we're just kind of all frustrated at it. Like, when are these young cats going to get on the field and at least get an opportunity to show us, show us what they can do?
And that's the toughest part of being right now in week 13 with the injuries, with the problems, because this is a time where you can't really find a veteran that's solid, that can come in and get things done, let alone learn an offense, learn a defense, and turn it into production out on the football field. And I think that's one of the things that we're still waiting to see is how is Hakeem Nicks going to help because of his ability now to work scout team, to get reps, but to learn the Ben McAdoo offense so that Eli and Ben McAdoo have confidence in him to make plays. I mean, that's part of the NFL, and that's the toughest thing about having injuries, having different things go on and take place at this point in the football season.
Yeah, you know, when you look around the NFL, I mean, it's insane to me. I mean, look what happened to the tight end position
this
past week with Gronk going out and Jimmy Graham going out. You have to be ready for next man up. And I will say this, this offensive line has played a lot better than I was expecting going into the season.
But the problem is once you start having injuries, and that's what takes away from that cohesiveness and consistency because of having experience playing next to one another.
Let's go to line one. Nugs is calling in from Minnesota. Nugs, welcome into Big Blue Kickoff Live.
Hey, you guys. Nice to get a chance to talk to you, Dave.
You got it, my man. I hope you're doing well.
Uh-oh. Nugs, I think we have a bad connection. All right,
but,
let's...
Yeah, I just wanted to... I just wanted to address what the...
Let Nugs know if he could call us back in from a landline. That would be great. Let's go to Jeff in New Hampshire. Jeff, welcome.
Hey, how we doing? Just a couple quick points from the Washington game and then thought going forward. The game kind of reminded me, I made a call probably, I think it was after the Saints game. The theme kind of all season has been we get a good performance out of one unit and then not the other, or two out of the three, the special teams, the offense, the defense. You know, the Saints game, obviously our offense was playing great. We couldn't get the defense to do anything. Then the special teams make a mistake. I kind of feel like this Washington game continued on that theme where the offense couldn't do anything. Really, the defense didn't play that bad the first three quarters of the game until the fourth quarter when we really needed them to step up and make one more play. Then they couldn't do it, get us the ball back. It just seems to be like that same story where one unit performs, another unit doesn't. The offense will play good, the defense doesn't, or vice versa. I don't know what the reason is for that or why we can't seem to get all three units playing well in the same game, but it seems like that's been kind of a reoccurring thing this year.
That's a great point. You know, in order for an offense to do things for the defense, it's about controlling the ball, controlling the time of possession, being able to keep your defense fresh. On the other side of the ball, it's up to the defense to create negative plays, to create turnovers, and create field position. And special teams, you know, each and every game you rely on special teams to, number one, give the offense field position, but number two, you really rely on them to have a dynamic play to bring all three together. And I agree with you. You can't have, you know, one up, one down, one up, one down. You know, there's got to be a fine line where that consistency and that cohesiveness of all three phases come in sync with each other in order to come away with wins, because one miscue from one is going to definitely affect and hurt the other two.
201-939-4513. Also want to remind you that Big Blue Kickoff Live is brought to you by DraftKings. Now, if you've never played on DraftKings, it's changing the way we play fantasy football. Just pick your contest, pick your players, and if you win, pick up your cash. It's as simple as that. Go to DraftKings.com, enter the promo code CONTACT to claim your free entry today. DraftKings Fantasy Sports, free to play. I had to submit an article each and every week I do, and it's called The Building Block Player.
Okay.
Of each week for DraftKings on ESPN, ESPN.com, their fantasy football site. And this week, how could it not be Cam Newton? $7,400 on DraftKings, mind you. But, man, going up against the Saints? What?
Yeah.
I just, Cam should have a field day.
I just
be dabbing all day.
Like I said, I just covered the Saints last week off of their bye week, number one. They got off to a very slow start. Brian Hoyer and the Texans scored on both of their opening drives. But two, their inability to stop the run and stay, you know, get their offense back out on the football field. You know, the Texans ran for 167, and it wasn't with the creativity and the trick plays with Wildcat. It was power, zone, duo, and they were just able to control everything at the line of scrimmage. You know, one of the biggest things for the Saints this season before Rob Ryan was fired was just getting lined up. I mean, you're looking at games earlier in the season where, you know, the other team's offense and quarterback is under center and the Saints defense is looking at the sideline trying to still get the call and get lined up. How the quarterbacks are snapping and just slinging it down the field. So that could be a great matchup for your DraftKings and to get Cam Newton.
Yeah, especially to you can stack Cam Newton and Greg Olsen this week in DraftKings. Let's continue with your calls. 201-939-4513 is the phone number. Let's go to Ed calling in from Maryland. Ed, you're on board with Anita Marks and David Deal.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I have a slew of things to go through, but I'll just make it quick. First of all, with the Reuben Randall, he seems to have been a lousy receiver for most of his Giants career. And the Giants brought in Knicks to, I guess, to kind of take that role away from Beckham, that number two role. And we see how Randall cost us the game Sunday. I just want to know, do you think Randall is better than Knicks? Or, I mean, can Knicks get more reps this week? Or, I mean, how is that going to play out?
You know, that's a great question. I was talking about that a little bit earlier. I think the big thing that we're waiting to see is, you know, number one, Hakeem Nicks' conditioning, and number two, his understanding and grasp of this offense, because the connection between Nicks and Eli has been great. The confidence that Eli has in him is great, but it was under Kevin Gilbride. It wasn't under Ben McAdoo. So it's very important that both of them are on the same page and that he knows and understands this offense in order to go out there and play the way that he's capable of. And you know, you're talking about what can he do for this football team. You know, Hakeem Nicks is in a transition state that this may be his last opportunity. So, you know, he's out there fighting and giving it his all to get back out on the football field, because if he doesn't go back out there and prove who he is as a wide receiver, this may be his last chance in the NFL.
Okay. 201-939-4513. Why don't we go to Twitter? This is from James. He said, stop with next man up. Players just have to step up. Thoughts on players that going into this matchup against the Jets that you feel that you'd like to see them step up?
Your backup is against the wall. It's time to come out slinging and fighting. And for the offense, it's got to start with the offensive line in order to get the run game going. Because, I don't care who you face in December, if you do not run the football and you do not wear down defenses for the third and fourth quarter, you're not going to have the production. And I know that this is a group and this is an offense that's predicated on pass first, run second. But in order to do anything in December and to make that playoff push, things need to get shored up in the run game in order to have anything happen.
This is from Ty. He says, the Giants missed their Ahmad Bradshaw. I think Darko is the closest thing runner-wise. Give him 20-plus carries.
As I said in the opening part of this, the running back by committee now in December is not – it hasn't worked, and it needs to be changed. In order to do things, they have to lean on Jennings. If Jennings gets his touches and gets worn down, give it to Darko. This is a time where you need to pound the football regardless of whether there is an eighth player in the box and have that confidence in order to stay ahead of the chain so that you're not in third and longs.
All right, let's continue with our calls. We have Nugs back, hopefully a better connection this time. Nugs?
Hey, what's going on, you guys?
Oh, so much better. Thank you.
Yeah, much better.
To say to all the Giants fans who are starting to call for Tom Coughlin's head, I just think that you guys are crazy. You know what I'm saying? Tom Coughlin's not the one who's getting turned around on a deep post. Tom Coughlin's not the one out there missing tackles. Tom Coughlin's not the one who's not aware of the situation when the game's on the line. I just think at some point in time, we've just gotta lay it at the feet of the players. You know what I'm saying? I mean, we got a championship caliber coach. We got a championship caliber quarterback. And yeah, I just think that Giants fans just need to stop with all the Tom Coughlin might have to go and all of that talk, because to me that's just total nonsense. I mean, who are you gonna replace him with? I mean, to these Giants fans that are calling in talking this nonsense, like who would you possibly replace Tom Coughlin with?
You know what?
But
I'll be honest with you. I don't even think the show needs to go in that direction.
No.
Because really, again, and this is something we've been talking about, the Giants are still in control here.
Yep.
Granted,
yep.
I mean, it's not the and Nubs, thank you for the phone call. But I don't want to sit here and spend time talking about Tom Coughlin. We really should be talking about this Jets matchup.
This Jets matchup.
You know, I mean, yeah. and this is two New York teams. To me, this is a premier game this week.
Yes, it is. And that, to go back to the thing that Nug said, is it is. This is a time, and this is put on the football players of the New York Giants and this team to come out swinging and play as hard as they possibly can for four quarters and play sound, fundamental football. It is a time where Coach Coughlin's going to put the best thing that he can out on the field. Ben McAdoo and Steve Spagnuolo are going to come up with the best game plans that they possibly can. But it is now time for the players to step up and make the plays when they are accounted on and it's needed. That's the biggest thing. And like you said, this is a great rivalry, yes. People are going to talk about Jets-Giants, yes. But this is a huge game for both teams because it is about playoff implications, and both of these teams need to win in order to ensure that they have that chance. Plain and simple. So anytime you have those games, it has to be a flat-out fight from the start to the game to the finish.
All right, well, I mean, based on the fact that this is Jets and Giants, and the fact that Rex Ryan isn't here any longer, and it is a team now led by Todd Bowles, totally different kind of persona that he has established.
I remember before the 11 game, he called us that they were our big brother. I remember that.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, you remember those things. Of course you do.
So it's a different. There's not as much trash talking going on. Like, it's just a different vibe in regard to this matchup. But still, you know, the fact that it is the Jets. What do you think the feel and the mentality is right now in that Giants locker room?
It has to be one that they're going to come out and fight for this football team because their backs are up against the wall. They had a disappointing loss in Washington where they had the opportunity to really step up and put themselves in a better position to maintain control of the division, considering that both Dallas and Philadelphia lost on Thanksgiving. That opportunity is gone. It's over. It's now about how are you going to respond this week and bounce back from that football game? Are you going to let that linger and you're going to soak? Because if that happens, it's going to be a long day on Sunday. Or are you going to learn from it, see what the mistakes that you need to correct are out on the football team and on the field, and come out as a warrior and fight? You'll know right from the beginning of this football game which team is going to want this game more and who's going to finish it.
It's clear
anytime you see these.
A few things that head coach Tom Coughlin did share in his press conference in regard to the Jets. +4 turnover ratio. Their time of possession is very good, and I think a big reason for that is because they are so committed to the run. And when Chris Ivory gets started, he really gets started. Their offense is ranked 14th with the run. They're 20th with the pass. They're number one in the green zone. That was kind of surprising. I didn't know that until Tom shared that with us this afternoon.
And they're number one on the opposite side, too.
And they've given up the fewest sacks in the NFL to Ryan Fitzpatrick. Fitzpatrick has 20 touchdowns on the season, 9th most in the NFL. Their defense is ranked 3rd overall, number one against the run, 12th against the pass. And they have the 3rd most takeaways in the NFL, 13th at punt return with Curley. And obviously, going into this matchup, I mean, really, the price of admission is if Darrelle Revis is healthy and is active and plays, that matchup between Darrelle Revis and Odell Beckham Jr. It's interesting. You had Darrelle Revis go up against DeAndre Hopkins against Houston and just got totally burned and then had to leave the game early because of the concussion that he suffered. But, I mean, you know,
DeAndre Hopkins actually should have had a 3rd touchdown, but T.J. Yates underthrew him on the sidelines. But, so we should have had 3.
But after that game, there was a lot of discussion. Even though you do feel, a lot of people feel that Darrelle Revis is the best shutdown corner in the NFL, is it fair to leave him out there on an island and not have that help from that safety because maybe Todd Bowles has too much confidence in him?
Well, that's what he's been doing his entire career, and that's where he got the name Revis Island. So, no, it's not. But at the same time, with the biggest thing that happened to Darrelle Revis is the changes in the rules of the physical contact. When you can touch, hit receivers, reroute them, because that was Darrelle Revis's game, was being physical, being able to reroute, do all those things. So, no. So, we'll see what happens with the concussion protocol if he comes back. You know, it's a Buster Screen will probably be the one who steps in for Revis, who they brought in from Cleveland. But, I mean, if you go back to it, you look at all these numbers and all these statistics and everything they had, the Houston Texans flipped the script and did all these things against the New York Jets. Why? Offensively, they were able to run the football, control the time of possession, and 2, their defense for the Texans were able to have negative plays on 1st and down to put things on the shoulders of Fitzpatrick to make plays. They hit him. They had sacks. I mean, they almost knocked him out of the game when he tried running one time, and it wore down this Jets team. That's the type of game that the New York Giants have to have.
Very physical.
Very physical.
The most... physicality, really a big key.
Yes.
In them winning on Sunday. 201-939-4513. The phone number, let's go to line 1. Ralph is calling in from Pennsylvania. Ralph, welcome.
Yeah, how you doing?
All right.
So I had a question. I like the Giants. I think the Giants have a lot of talent on the team. But sometimes I feel like they're being misused. Like, I feel like Jason Pierre-Paul with his hand situation is not in the best advantage to be playing every down. He seems more just like a pass rusher, kind of like the Montreal Moore, but at the same time.
So who are you going to put in there for him?
Say that again?
Who are you going to put in there for him to have his production and play?
Kerry Wynn. I actually like Kerry Wynn as a young player. I don't think he's bad. I think he proved himself in the preseason and the year before that. So
Was there a difference when Jason Pierre-Paul was in the lineup compared to Kerry Wynn?
Yeah, Pierre-Paul gets more pressure on the quarterback, but I feel like at the same time he's not as great in the run as he used to be just because he's still figuring out his hand. I'm not saying Jason Pierre-Paul's not going to be a great player. He's a great player. But I just think he needs to figure out the whole hand situation. Like, that's bothering him probably, you know. I don't know, because I haven't played with that. You know, I haven't played football ever, but I guess that has to be a big deal to play with a little club on your hand, you know.
Okay. What else you got, my man?
Onyeka, what's going on with him? Is he, if he's healthy, is he going to be a starter or is he going to be a backup? Do you have any idea?
He's not on the injury report list, so he's practicing today.
He's practicing today. You have Kennard with a hamstring and the foot not practicing, so that's another question that we're going to have.
Actually, Tom Coughlin said that he came to him right before practice and said that he was going to practice. I would imagine if he is maybe limited.
Limited, yes.
But Kennard was pretty adamant that he wanted to practice today.
There you go.
And my last question, and I'll let you guys go after this. The GM, Jerry Reese, I don't know how it works in the organization, how people, who gets picked up in free agency, whose decision that is. But I don't know what you guys think. I'd like to hear. But do you think that the general office or, like, that the office itself and the GM to Steve Sisolak, do you think they're making the right decisions, grabbing the right players, like, free agency-wise? I seem like Cordell Finnegan got picked up by a team. He was a free agent, and he seemed like a pretty good cornerback, not bad at least. And when we were hurting, we didn't pick up any cornerbacks or anything like that. So I just wanted to get your intake on that.
Great question, and obviously this is yet to see what will happen with what goes moving forward with the season. Obviously, neither one of us are in a position to make that decision, but, I mean, even at the same time, we're all sitting here with the negative stuff. If you look back, this team still had opportunities to win football games in the fourth quarter with the players out on the field.
This is a tweet. Again, you can hit us up on Twitter, hashtag Giants Chat. This is from Rob Hines, Jr. He says OBJ should see another 18 targets again this week. I'm curious, if Darrell Revis is active, okay,
yes,
and you're Eli Manning. You're
still going to go after him. Still, you have to use your best weapons. You can't let one player neutralize things for your team. And, you know, Odell Beckham Jr. has that confidence in himself. He went up against Richard Sherman and made plays against him. You got to give him the football. But what does it go back to? With the best player up against Odell Beckham Jr., the other wide receivers need to step up because you're going to get the one-on-ones. And two, the fact that Larry Donnell, and there's no tight end really that has received and taken charge and really stepped up and ordered things down the seam, other players have to step up.
Let's go to Ken on line two, calling in from New Jersey. Ken, welcome into Big Blue Kickoff Live.
Hi, Anita. Hi, Dave. How you guys doing?
Okay.
I want to talk about this upcoming game. I think if we get one of our offensive linemen back, we have a really good shot at winning this game. And not only winning it, but I think a double-digit win, 10 points or 14. We seem to play well against the Jets, call it, you know, luck or whatever it is. But, yeah, they're a different team this year, and they're a better team. But I think our running game gets going this week. We have four starting caliber running backs. There's no reason why our running game should be struggling as much as it is. What I really want to know is what officiating crew are we getting this week? That worries me the most. That's the second team that we play every week, and I feel like sometimes they beat us.
I have no idea, actually, who the officiating crew is in that regards. But to go back to your things, I agree with you 100% because it is about being physical. It's about running the football game. And if anybody, like I said, wants to go back and watch a game, go back as a Giants fan and watch that Texans game because it'll give you the blueprint of how to beat the New York Jets.
Let's go to line one. James is calling in from Ecuador. That's pretty cool. James.
Hi, Anita and David. Thanks for taking my call. And we're probably going to have a bad connection, but I'll try to get through it.
Well, I would think you're from Ecuador, man.
Can you still hear me?
Yes.
Okay. I guess I'm hearing all the stuff about these cliches about backs up against the wall and next man up and stepping up. I mean, all that rah 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 stuff is good in games number four and number five. But geez, we're well into the season. You know, we're tied for the division lead, and nobody, but it's a lot of non-believers that we're even a good team. And I want to hear about stuff that's reality, you know, instead of this emotional rah-rah-rah stuff. We got people would say, well, you know, he was on the street, you know, he can't be any good, he's on the street. Well, hell, he's not on the street anymore. He's just Giants, we've seen what Reuben Randle provides us for the last 3 years, which is basically nothing. So we bring Nix in. Hopefully he can do something. He can't do any worse than Randle. I'm sorry. So anyway, for this Jets game, obviously I'm going to watch it with enthusiasm, be a Giants fan. But, gee, man, we got to stop with all this rah stuff. I mean,
James, unfortunately, we got to let you go because, unfortunately, yeah, we do have a bad connection from Ecuador. But what more? But you need that emotion.
Yeah.
You need that
emotion. It's time to put up
or
shut up.
It's not about rah, rah, rah. You know, and I think, was it Odell Beckham Jr.
Yeah.
who said that, you know, need a little bit more fight in this team?
Yeah.
You need that. You need a team to get kind of crumped up heading into, especially this matchup against the Jets. You would imagine that against a division rival like Washington or the Eagles or the Cowboys, that the team would have that already. I know this isn't a division rival, but this is an inner city rival. So,
yeah.
You need that. It's not rah rah rah. It's more of getting a team.
And it's not about cliches. It's about getting a team emotionally ready to go out and fight for their lives, because that's what they're fighting for right now. They're fighting for survival in the NFL and for the playoffs. So yeah, the rah 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 cliches. I've been in the locker room, James. I know what it takes. I know what it takes for a team to come together, and it's an emotional and mental fight for a team to stick together when they faced adversity. So you may think of it as rah, 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 James. I've lived it.
Let's talk about Brandon Marshall and Eric Decker for a second.
Yes.
Here. Because the season that Eric Decker, 10 games Eric Decker has suited up and played for the Jets, he has 8 touchdowns.
Yeah.
In 10 games. Pretty remarkable. And I think a big reason for that is because
Brandon Marshall
coming in, getting the respect from the opposing defenses, which really has opened things up for Eric Decker. And also, with all due respect to Ryan Fitzpatrick, he just doesn't have the strongest arm out of the 32.
And
Decker kind of lives in that comfort zone.
And that's where I was going to go with that, because if you look, a lot of Decker's production is because of the run game and play action. Because of getting Ivory going, it forces defenses and it forces linebackers down, that the minute they see that play run, they come stepping up. The defensive backs are with their eyes in the backfield, and Decker's making plays.
Yeah, so your thoughts on Dominic Rodgers-Cromartie is practicing today, which is great. I know he kind of tweaked his foot, his ankle against the Washington Redskins, so that's great that he's practicing. But to have DRC and Prince, your thoughts on how the secondary approaches Brandon Marshall and Eric Decker?
It's number one, no miscues, no fundamental flaws. You've got to communicate, and you've got to stay on the same level. And you know, Brandon Marshall's a big target. He's a big receiver, but they've got to do things to get him off of his mark, to reroute him and make his day difficult. And the same goes to Decker. But it all starts with the up front of the ability to stop the run, to force third and longs so that you can be more physical, you can be more aggressive, and you force things on Fitz so that he has the pressure that he needs to make a play.
All right, let's continue with our calls. We go to Byron calling in from Louisiana. Byron?
Hey, how you doing, Anita? How you doing, David?
Good, Byron. How are you?
I'm all right, man. I just have one concern. Do you guys remember when we had Brandon Jacobs and Amaya Bradshaw at the same time?
I would hope that I remember.
Well, you know how we had a rough time starting off with the running game, so we kind of tweak the offense a little bit to give us 5 yards here, 2 yards there, 3 yards, to keep us a little consistent with getting positive yards. How come we can't do that now?
It's a great question. Number one, it starts up front with the offensive line and no injuries. But
yeah,
two, it's an attitude that you will not be stopped, because you understand how important it is to run the ball in a football game. You understand as an offensive line, because it allows you to be, you know, slow defenses down. It allows you to be more aggressive on your sets and play action. But it's a mental toughness that regardless of what's going to happen, you're going to stick to it and get the job done. And that's what they need to do moving forward here with Jennings and Darkwell. You've got to have that attitude that you're not going to be denied and that you're going to make things turn around up front for your team.
I understand that's 100% true, but how come we can't start with like a simple dive, you know, instead of doing this guard pulling to the left and guard pulling to the right. How about we just go smash mouth football straight up the middle with Jennings? And then for your speed, you go to Darkwa or Shane Vereen. That'll keep the defense honest. That'll keep the linebackers doing their read steps instead of just automatically recognizing that it's a pass and shooting to the zones where they throw the flats and the quick slants and stuff like that. You know, I think we should – I mean, every offensive lineman should at least have something in them to give you at least two or three good steps forward. You know, we should be able to at least get that kind of push to give us some confidence, you know what I mean?
And, you know, a lot of times it's not even just a push. It's about bodying people up, putting yourself in the best position possible, and using your fundamentals and techniques so that you can give a back a two-way go, so it's either inside or outside, making sure that the backside there's no penetration to let a running back use the ability to bounce back and cut up. But you're right. It all starts up front, and it starts with that toughness that you are going to get it done. And it, you know, the best example of it, like you said, is running dives, running slant, running bobs, right downhill at a team. But you have to have success in order to do that.
Let's go to Mike calling in from New Jersey. He wants to talk about the running game. Mike, welcome in.
Hey, how are you guys?
Great, Mike.
I just had a quick question for you. In your guys' opinions, what is the bigger problem with the running game? The that we have four backs and not one can really get in a rhythm because they don't really get a great amount of carries per back, or the troubles with the offensive line, like having so many guys hurt up front?
Okay. We could say, number one, with the running backs, that's obviously been an issue, but it has to be changed moving forward here in order to have production. To the offensive line, yes, because of the injuries, because of moving parts. But three is having a solid blocking tight end, which is a need in order to have a solid running game so that your tight ends aren't getting bookend and stopped at the point of attack where it's forcing everything inside out. So all those things, you know, go hand in hand with one another.
Before let's end on this because I do, again, we're kind of at that point right now. December, have to pay attention to what's going on in around the NFC East. The Eagles, they are at the Patriots. Now, granted, no Gronk, he's out this week. Danny Amendola apparently is going to test out that knee at practice today. Brandon LaFell becomes the number one wide receiver. Keyshawn Martin is there. They cut Chris Harper for muffing a punt. Scott Chandler is going to have to step up. But as we know, this Eagles team is a team that has given up 10 passing touchdowns to opposing quarterbacks, and that is Matthew Stafford and Jameis Winston the past 2 weeks. I mean, regardless of who's lining up for Tom Brady, if this Eagles defense plays as horribly as they have the past 2 weeks, I see Tom Brady having a field day.
Agreed. I agree with you. It also goes back on the shoulders of if their offense for the Philadelphia Eagles are going to be able to get production with their high tempo, because for them it's about plays and not time of possession. And we saw on Thanksgiving a drive that only took 40 seconds off of the clock.
So I do not – I think it's going to be a miracle for the Eagles to beat the Patriots this week.
Okay.
And then, of course, Monday Night Football, you got the Cowboys going up against the Washington Redskins in D.C. Obviously, this is a game – I know this is going to be difficult, but this is a game that Giants fans want to root for the Cowboys.
Yeah.
But how do you see this game playing out?
I see this game playing out in a fashion where, unfortunately, I think it may play into the favor of the Washington Redskins because – of the depleted roster that the Dallas Cowboys have right now, the way that they've played this season on the road, the lack of confidence that they have in Matt Castle. So as a Giants fan, you're praying that the Dallas Cowboys get one done, but it's going to be a tough task for them.
All right. Hey, always a fun show with you.
Thank you. You too.
I know. So you want to stay tuned to Giants.com. Players following practice will be made available to the media. Those interviews will be up on Giants.com. And also, don't forget, tomorrow, I want to say it's Paul Dottino and Howard Cross hosting Big Blue Kickoff Live. They'll continue to take your calls. What an exciting week this is going to be. I'm really excited for this game.
I am too.
You know?
I am too.
I think very intriguing matchups. And believe it or not, I hope Darrell Revis plays. I want to see
that matchup.
And I know there's Giants fans out there going, Anita,
you're crazy.
We don't want him to play. But I want to see that matchup because I do believe Odell would get the best of him.
Get it done.
I really do. Anyway, it's been fun. Hopefully everybody has a fantastic day and a fantastic week. And again, stay tuned. Big Blue Kickoff Live tomorrow. Paul Dottino and Howard Cross coming your way right here on Giants.com.
Go. Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go.
Down the middle of the field. He's got through. 35, 30.